Chapter 16, Politics, Protest, and Social Change. Chapter Preview, Terms. Boycott, Affirmative Action, Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title IX, American Indian Movement, AIM, Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, Embargo, Deregulation, Price Parity. People: J. Howard Edmondson, Henry Bellman, Dewey Bartlett, Lelia Foley Davis, Clyde Warrior, LaDonna Harris, David Hall, David Boren. Places: Tar Creek. Questions were asked, discussions were lively, and actions were often volatile during the 1960s and 1970s. More and more, America's leaders and their decisions were questioned, and people spoke up for what they believed. People had more leisure time, more ways to communicate, and more prosperity. America was embroiled in yet another war, but this time it pulled Americans apart rather than brought them together. Television provided everyone with a front-row seat for war, protest, the energy crisis, space ventures, sports, music, and entertainment. The title of a 1964 Bob Dylan song summed up the era very well. The times, they are a-changin'. Section 1, War and Politics. As you read, look for the civil rights movements in Oklahoma for blacks, women, and American Indians. The upheaval resulting from the Vietnam War, and vocabulary terms, boycott, affirmative action, Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title IX, and American Indian Movement, AIM. The youth movement and social unrest in the 1960s and 1970s helped create a turbulent time. Oklahoma's youngest governor, J. Howard Edmondson, age 33, took office in January 1959. 2 years later, the youngest person ever elected president, 43-year-old John F. Kennedy, was inaugurated. Although Kennedy, a Democrat, won the national election, Oklahomans had supported the Republican candidate, Richard M. Nixon. The state's Republican support continued in the 1962 election when Henry Bellman became Oklahoma's first Republican governor. Bellman was followed in 1967 by another Republican governor, Dewey Bartlett. President Kennedy's agenda of the space race, civil rights, the Peace Corps, and ending the Civil War was cut short when he was assassinated in Dallas, Texas, on November 22, 1963. Americans and people around the world were shocked at the sudden, tragic loss of the young, vibrant leader. Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson was immediately sworn in as president. Johnson continued many of Kennedy's social and economic programs, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Civil Rights Movement. African Americans had fought alongside whites, American Indians, and others during World War II, and they wanted the equality to continue at home. President Harry Truman established a Commission on Civil Rights in 1946 to address the issue, and his administration integrated military training facilities in 1948. But this was not enough, and the voices for civil rights grew louder. In 1954, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka that separate educational facilities for black children were not equal, but opposition by white officials continued. African American Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a Montgomery, Alabama city bus in 1955, which led to a boycott of the city's buses. A boycott occurs when people refuse to buy certain items or take certain actions until specific conditions are met. President Dwight Eisenhower ordered federal National Guard troops in to ensure the safety of black students enrolling at Little Rock's Central High School in Arkansas in 1957. Desegregating public facilities. the 1958 Oklahoma City sit-ins by the NAACP Youth Council and Clara Looper were part of the growing national effort. After the group's success at Katz Drugstore, they moved across the street to VZ's Drugstore. VZ's had already decided to change its lunch counter policy to serve black customers. Another downtown store, S.H. Cress, decided to serve everyone but removed all of the counter stools and converted to stand-up service. The sit-in at John A. Brown's department store continued from August 1958 until June 1961, but the youth council prevailed. Actor Charlton Heston gave a boost to the efforts in May 1961 when he joined in a march in front of John A. Brown's. Economics played a part in changing the store's policies because businesses targeted for sit-ins usually saw a loss of income as a result of the disruption. The three-year effort in Oklahoma City resulted in 117 integrated stores, and the Youth Council grew from 14 members to over 1,000. The success of the sit-in tactic in Oklahoma City led to its use in many other locations in the South. Emotions, however, were mixed. Most of the African-American community supported the nonviolent sit-ins, but a few blacks were unhappy. While many white people supported the Youth Council's efforts, Looper also received hate-filled telephone calls and threats. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. believed that the fight for equality should be nonviolent, but other African Americans thought a more militant effort was needed. Most of the civil rights activity in Oklahoma remained nonviolent. Marches were another way that blacks and their supporters showed their discontent. Several marches were held in Tulsa during the 1960s, sometimes resulting in arrest. Looper led a march at an amusement park in Lawton in 1966 to protest the segregated swimming pool. She related later in an interview, quote, "The man who owned it had me arrested because he didn't want blacks to swim. He said he didn't want me swimming in his pool, and I looked at him and didn't say anything because I couldn't swim," end quote. Oklahoma City's amusement parks, Wedgewood and Spring Lake, were also caught in the civil rights struggle. Wedgewood was segregated on certain days, which resulted in a protest and the arrest of more than 50 people in 1963. 30 people were arrested and several were hurt in a racial incident at Spring Lake on April 11, 1971. School integration. Racial segregation in the Oklahoma City public schools was challenged in 1961. At the time, students attended neighborhood schools and the neighborhoods were largely segregated. In 1972, Judge Luther Bohannon ordered the school board to desegregate the schools by busing students. Black students were transported by bus from their neighborhoods to attend the predominantly white grades 1 through 4 elementary schools. The predominantly black elementary schools became fifth grade centers, and white students were bused to them. New attendance zones were drawn to integrate the middle and high schools. While the effort was somewhat successful, it also resulted in white flight, when some families moved outside the district to attend school in the suburbs, which were outside of the reach of the busing order. Black athletes were not allowed to play on the varsity teams of a number of southern universities until the late 1960s and early 1970s. In 1957, Prentice Galt became the first of many African Americans to play football at the University of Oklahoma. In the mid-1960s, Coach Abe Lemons at Oklahoma City University recruited two African American basketball players from Kentucky, Jerry Lee Wells and Charlie Hunter. The OCU team lost to Texas Western in the first round of the 1966 NCAA tournament, but the Texas team went on to win the tournament with five African-American starters. their story was featured in the 2006 movie Glory Road. Oklahoman Don Haskins, who had played under Henry Iba at Oklahoma A&M, was the head coach of the winning Texas team. Jerry Lee Wells was selected as an All-American and was drafted by Cincinnati in the NBA draft. His professional basketball career was cut short, however, when he was picked by another draft for the U.S. Army. The Vietnam War. Vietnam was a French colony prior to World War II, when it was seized by Japan. France wanted to regain control of the Asian colony after the war, but the Vietnamese communist leader Ho Chi Minh wanted independence for his country. The United States supported France's battle economically, but would not send in U.S. troops. In 1954, France withdrew from Vietnam. In the withdrawal settlement, Vietnam was temporarily divided in half. The communist regime of Ho Chi Minh controlled the northern part. The United States helped establish a democratic, anti-communist government in the south, and President Eisenhower sent weapons and about 650 military advisors to Vietnam in the late 1950s. By the time of President Kennedy's assassination in 1963, the number had grown to 15,000 American military advisors. Under President Johnson, 5,000 more advisors were sent to Vietnam. By 1965, a decision had to be made to either escalate the effort or withdraw. Thinking that a heavy infusion of troops would win the war, Johnson announced in July 1965 that the troops would fight a ground war. By 1966, the number of Americans in Vietnam more than doubled to 400,000, and more than 4,000 U.S. troops had been killed in the fighting. The jungles and rice paddies of Vietnam greatly hampered American troop movement. The terrain of the country was much more suited to the North Vietnamese guerrilla warfare. Even though earlier wars were covered by the media, technology had developed greatly by the 1960s, and coverage was more thorough. The horrors of war and daily military routine were vividly replayed in living rooms across the country, although reports were about 5 days old by the time the film was flown to the United States and processed. The News Bureau in Saigon, South Vietnam, was the third largest for many years, behind only New York and Washington. During the first part of the war, reporting was mostly positive in support of the American effort. By the early 1970s, soldiers were still portrayed positively, but journalists were growing skeptical of the war's progress, as were Americans at home. War protest. As the fighting in Vietnam dragged on with no end in sight, more Americans became frustrated. Costs for the war were escalating rapidly, and inflation in the United States put many social programs at risk. People began questioning America's involvement in Vietnam. The emotionally charged anti-war movement was debated on university and college campuses across the nation in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Oklahomans, too, were torn in their feelings about the war. The majority continued with their daily routines of work or school, but several young people exercised their First Amendment right of free speech on their campuses and at the state capitol. In 1968, fearful of campus disorder reaching Oklahoma campuses, Governor Bartlett created the Office of Interagency Coordination to gather information on people suspected of radical activities. Even though some American troops were being pulled out of Vietnam in 1970, U.S. forces invaded neighboring Cambodia in April of that year. The action ignited thousands of protests at home. 4 students were killed at Kent State University in Ohio on May 4, 1970, and 2 died at Jackson State University in Mississippi 10 days later as demonstrators and law enforcement clashed. Saddened, shocked, and shaken, some people feared major uprisings on campuses. Campus Army ROTC, Reserve Officers Training Corps, units, as a perceived arm of the government or the establishment, were often the target of anti-war demonstrators. Oklahoma State University's ROTC drill field was declared off-limits to protesters. Although protesters were present, a crisis was averted at OU's ROTC awards ceremony a few days after the Kent State incident. The end of the war. American troops were withdrawn from Vietnam in 1973 when a ceasefire was signed, but the North Vietnamese continued fighting the South Vietnamese. In April 1975, Saigon fell to the communist regime. The remaining U.S. military and diplomats were hurriedly evacuated, and many frantic South Vietnamese tried to escape with them. Thousands of Vietnamese people were flown out of Vietnam, including hundreds of children in Operation Baby Lift. Many others fled on rafts and boats. An estimated 132,000 Southeast Asian refugees immigrated to the United States in 1975. Friends and family were thrilled to have their loved ones home, but the welcome home for Vietnam veterans lacked the jubilation that followed other wars. America's longest conflict was costly in many ways, including the loss of human lives and confidence in our country. Over 6 million American troops served in the Vietnam War effort, and over 58,000 died. Oklahomans who served in Vietnam numbered 144,000, and at least 988 Oklahomans were killed. The 26th Amendment. All men over 18 were eligible to be drafted into the Army, and the average age of the American soldier in Vietnam was 19. Since most states required voters to be 21, the young soldiers had no voting voice in their government. Efforts had been made sporadically since the Civil War to lower the voting age, but the unrest of the 1960s helped propel the issue forward. A passionate movement began to gain the vote for young people, and Congress quickly passed the 26th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution on March 10, 1971. Three-fourths of the state legislatures had to approve the amendment before it could be ratified. The amendment was approved on July 1st of that same year. 11 million Americans between 18 and 20 were eligible to vote for the first time, and in the next national election in 1972, 50% of 18 to 20-year-olds voted, a percentage that has never been equaled. Other rights movements. The events unfolding in the 1960s inspired various other groups to fight for their rights. Affirmative action. In 1961, President Kennedy created a Committee on Equal Employment Opportunity to help achieve fair employment for all races. That committee was to take affirmative action to ensure that hiring and employment practices were free of racial bias. President Johnson took the effort a step further in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which required equal employment opportunity without regard to race, religion, and national origin. Women's rights. Women sought equal rights in the workplace and in society. In 1968, gender was added to the protected categories of the Civil Rights Act. The energized feminist movement eventually helped to achieve equal pay for equal work, to open new career possibilities, and to remove barriers for advancement of women. At least two Oklahoma communities elected female mayors in the 1970s. In 1971, Oklahoma City became the largest city with an elected female mayor, and Mayor Patience Ladding ably served until 1983. Lisha Foley Davis became the first black female elected mayor in America when she took the job in Taft in 1973. Hannah Atkins became the first African-American woman elected to the Oklahoma House of Representatives in 1968, a position she held until 1980. In the 1980s, Atkins served in the United Nations as a consultant to the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, Assistant Director of the Department of Human Services, Cabinet Secretary for Social Services, and Secretary of State. She also held various teaching positions. The National Organization of Women, NOW, and the National Women's Political Caucus gained nationwide momentum for the proposed Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, to the U.S. Constitution. The amendment's text read, quote, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex," end quote. Although polls showed that a majority of Americans were for the ERA, a very vocal group opposed it. The U.S. Congress approved the ERA in 1972, and it was then sent to the states for ratification. 35 states approved the amendment. However, 3/4 of the states, or 38, were needed for it to become a law. The Oklahoma legislature failed to ratify the ERA by 3 votes. In 1970, an amendment was added to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act to prohibit sex discrimination in education. In 1972, this amendment became Title IX. Any educational institution that receives federal funding, elementary through college, is required to provide equal opportunities in educational programs and activities. Girls basketball in Oklahoma schools has had a long history, but before Title IX, the opportunity for female athletes beyond high school was almost non-existent. Prior to Title IX, women were somewhat limited to traditional careers, and some colleges didn't allow females to take certain courses, stay out past midnight, or take classes if they were married. California swimmer Donna Day Verona earned 2 gold medals in the 1964 Olympics, but couldn't compete in college because there was no athletic program for women. 25 years after passage of Title IX, significantly more women were earning college degrees, and the number of female athletes increased greatly at all levels. American Indian rights. American Indians also made a renewed effort to make their voices heard. Delegates from 67 tribes met in 1961 at the American Indian Chicago Conference to bring attention to their growing issues, which included health care, education, and employment. Resolutions were adopted at the conference, but the conference also served to stimulate new leadership. One of the new young leaders who emerged in Chicago was Clyde Warrior, a Ponca Indian and a graduate of Northeastern State University in Tahlequah. Warrior became a leader in the National Indian Youth Council and was involved in the fishing rights protest in the Pacific Northwest. LaDonna Harris, born in Temple, had married her childhood sweetheart, Fred Harris, who became a U.S. Senator in the 1960s. Mrs. Harris, who was part Comanche Indian, used her position to work to improve the lives of American Indians. In 1970, she founded the Intertribal Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity and served as president of Americans for Indian Opportunity for several years. The sometimes militant American Indian Movement, AIM, was organized in the late 1960s to gain Indian rights. The group participated in several protests, including occupying the Bureau of Indian Affairs office in Washington, D.C. in 1970. In 1973, to protest police brutality, AIM activists occupied the village of Wounded Knee on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. The 71-day standoff between federal authorities and the activists resulted in 2 people killed and 12 wounded at the site of the 1890 Battle of Wounded Knee Massacre. The legislature created an Oklahoma Indian Affairs Commission, OIAC, in 1967. The OIAC's mission was to promote unity, purpose, and understanding between Indian tribes and state and federal governments. The U.S. Congress enacted the Indian Civil Rights Act of 1968 to protect the basic rights of Indians, and in 1975, the American Indian Self-Determination and Education Act opened even more opportunities. The 1975 Act gave tribal governments the option to assume responsibility for tribal administration and to increase control over their resources. It's your turn. Number one, why were the 1960s and 1970s a turbulent time for Oklahoma? Number two, what was the intent of affirmative action programs? Number three, what was the Equal Rights Amendment? Was it ratified?